Salute Cavalry. Welcome to the Divided Kingdom, the evening news program many of you have come to know and trust. It's May 7th, 2020. Elizabeth Cuppet Cavalry and I, as usual for the last 2 months, have been busily tracking all the controversies of the coronavirus. And believe me, there are a lot of them right now. But as things sometimes converge, some call it synchronicity, we had one of those moments.
Yes, Lou, I was searching through past articles for something that I was looking for, an item, when two articles caught my attention. The one concerning the Greenland glacier growing and the AP article from April a year ago. As many of you know, we have been tracking the work of Dr. John L. Casey, author of the book Cold Sun, since 2014 or so, and watching over his thesis that there's a new little ice age coming, and it's due to the minimum solar spot activity.
Yes, like the Maunder Little Ice Age in the 1600s, and the Dalton Minimum that included the year 1816, known in folklore as the Year Without a Summer. Every 200 years, this cycle seems to come bringing crop failures, economic turmoil, and pestilence and plague.
Yes, and very briefly, you read on air one time from the story of Joseph Smith, the Mormon, I think by Fawn Brody, the biography.
Yes.
And maybe you can just recapitulate a little bit there what it was like.
Well, it said that they had to plant the crops twice. As we said, there was a frost in July, and a great many of these settlers, and this was in Vermont. I believe that Joseph Smith Jr. was born in Vermont. He was the founder of the Mormon Church. Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And they said that at that time, at least when Fawn Brody was writing, which I think was the late 1940s, that was the most people that left Vermont to move westward in the whole history of the state. And it was due to this year without a summer, or as some called it, 1816 and froze to death.
And so, you know, that every 200 years, we are thinking about the apropos quality of this, that it would bring crop failures, economic problems, and pestilence and plague, weren't we?
Yes.
We were thinking about that. And so, at any rate, Lou, here was last year's headline for April. And it wasn't coronavirus lockdown. It was Storm Buries Midwest from the AP, and this was April 13th, 2019. I'll just give you a little sample of this. Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Strong winds and more snow hit the Midwest on Friday after a spring storm buried several states in snow and crested created dangerous travel conditions, while forecasters warned of potential weekend tornadoes in the south. The storm hovering over parts of Minnesota, South Dakota, and North Dakota was the second bomb cyclone storm system to hit the region in a month. The storm moved in Thursday, closing highways and knocking out power to tens of thousands of people. It also left behind 25 inches of snow in northeast South Dakota, where Governor Kristi Noem closed government offices in most of the state for a third straight day Friday. Parts of Nebraska were buried in more than a foot of snow and even deeper drifts thanks to winds gusting to more than 60 miles per hour. I think that, you know, we're to note here, Lou, you have something that you have noticed, don't you?
Yes. Note, listeners, this is 1 month. That is, today is just about 1 month later this year than the unexpected out-of-season storm that occurred last year in April 2019. Now, Fox News reports on May 5th, 2020, quote, northeast to see several rounds of snow, unquote, as the Arctic blast pushes in. According to Janice Dean, Fox News' senior meteorologist, quote, the bigger story with this is we're going to see several rounds of snow for parts of the interior northeast. So this first batch moves in on Thursday, Friday, and then the second one, the more potent system, moves in on Mother's Day weekend. According to Fox News, Pennsylvania will see wet snow and temperatures are expected to be 10 to 15 degrees below average, with record lows possibly by Saturday. Are we getting closer to 1816 when New England crops frozen July? Now, an article entitled, An Inconvenient Glacier, Study Shows Greenland Glacier Growing.
And you know, we had just put this article away, and when I was looking for things, there it turned up. At the same time, you came home and announced this oddball snow coming. So again, we are not sure whether our archives at dividedkingdomradio.com, and don't forget to tell others to go to our archives, our website, DividedKingdomRadio.com, if they're working back around the year 2014, 2015, because we had to get a new website, you may be able to find some of our story there on the coming little ice age. But now, let's pick up what you have to say, Lou.
That's right. Despite all the Al Gore, and this is my own words now, despite all the Al Gore global warming, so-called inconvenient truth, and the AOC rabid Green New Deal, and the MSM lies about the polar bears' deaths due to melting polar ice. Here's an update from NASA. And as I said, an inconvenient glacier study shows Greenland glacier growing. Over the past two decades, the Jakobshavn glacier in Greenland has been melting at what climate alarmists might term an alarming rate. However, a new study published in Nature Geoscience has concluded that since 2016, the Jakobshavn glacier is now growing again. Using airborne altimetry and satellite imagery data, the study concludes that since 2016, the glacier has been advancing. The data used was from NASA's Oceans Melting Greenland, OMG, mission. The study was conducted by NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory, JPL, with contributions from Remote Sensing Solutions in Barnstable, Massachusetts, and the University of Utrecht in the Netherlands. The study traces the glacier's growth spurt to a naturally occurring cycle of cooler water in the North Atlantic, more than 600 miles south of the glacier. Researchers posit that the cold water was set in motion due to an effect known as the North Atlantic Oscillation, NAO, which causes the Northern Atlantic to switch slowly between warm and cold every 5 to 20 years. The water in Disko Bay, where the glacier meets the Atlantic, is now 3.6 degrees Fahrenheit cooler than it was just a few years ago, causing the Jakobshavn glacier to grow. Water temperatures in the vicinity of the glacier are now colder than they've been since the mid-1980s. And boy, were the scientists surprised about it. Quote, at first we didn't believe it. We had pretty much assumed the Jakobshavn glacier would just keep going on as it had over the last 20 years, said Ayla Kazenda, a research scientist at JPL and the lead author of the study. And
I think there's more to pick up on that, that around 2012, Jakobshavn had been retreating at roughly 1.8 miles and thinning at about 130 feet annually. However, according to the study, it has been growing again at roughly those same rates since 2016. As far as ice loss and its potential contribution to sea level rise, the Jakobshavn Glacier is one of the most important in the Northern Hemisphere. Quote, this was kind of a surprise. We kind of got used to a runaway system, end quote, said ice and climate scientist Jason Box of the Geological Survey of Denmark and Greenland. Quote, the good news is that it's a reminder that it's not necessarily going that fast, but it is going, end quote. Box was not a part of the study, but he called Jakobshavn, quote, arguably the most important Greenland glacier because it discharges the most ice in the Northern Hemisphere. For all of Greenland, it is king, end quote. Another NASA scientist who was not part of the project lauded the OMG mission for its groundbreaking scientific potential. Tom Wagner, NASA Headquarters Program Scientist for the Cryosphere, said, the OMG mission deployed new technologies that allowed us to observe a natural experiment, much as we would do in a laboratory, where variations in ocean temperature were used to control the flow of a glacier. Their findings, especially about how quickly the ice responds, will be important in projecting sea level rise in both the near and distant future. But in 2019, where climate is concerned, there can never be good news. Any study must be spun to include impending disaster. Scientists connected to the study were quick to point out the glacier's growth is only an interruption of the expected long-term glacial melt, supposedly caused by anthropogenic man-made global warming. Quote, Jacob Chauvin is getting a temporary break from this climate pattern, but in the long run, the oceans are warming, and seeing the oceans have such a huge impact on the glaciers is bad news for Greenland's ice sheet, according to Josh Willis of JPL, the principal investigator of OMG. In other words, the growing glacier is only evidence of a brief respite from the scourge of man-made global warming. Ding, ding, ding. Do we see how cleverly we have made black into white, listeners? I wonder, the evidence is the evidence, but we're going to use it to prove the opposite. But back to the article, once the North Atlantic Oscillation changes back to warmer water, future glacial melts will be catastrophic. All this is an indicator of how sensitive glaciers are to ocean temperatures, Kazender explained, hinting that that's not a good thing. In the long run, we'll probably have to raise our predictions of sea level rise again, said Willis. Climate scientists cannot simply report on findings without linking them to future disaster. Any study, even one showing an obvious slowdown in global warming, a growing glacier, must be linked to catastrophic climate change. It's another sure sign that the study of climatology is as much political as it is scientific.
Naturally, our main focus with the Divided Kingdom tonight has to be coronavirus coverage. But the Bible tells us the prudent man prepares. Already, record numbers of people are fleeing the big blue cities. According to John L. Casey's analysis of catastrophic earthquakes that come before in solar minimum little ice ages, we are facing a high possibility of such catastrophic activity here and need to ready ourselves for a national threat. He says that during the last little ice age, the Dalton Minimum, when people lived on the land and grew their own food, even then, with a fireplace and ample wood, thousands of Americans still froze to death or starved to death during the last solar hibernation. Today, Casey suggests whole regions could be without power for weeks or months. The Dalton Minimum was this last one. It was also the last period of cold when the New Madrid seismic zone broke apart. Elizabeth and I wonder whether that world of 1816, the year without a summer, is almost upon us. To get John L. Casey's book, his latest book, Upheaval, from Traffic Publishing, you can call 1-888-232-4444. And again, that's book title, Upheaval. You can go to 1-888-232-4444.
And now, Lou, we're going to talk about how prescient Dr. Carl Sanders was with certain things that he had in the New World Order forecast. But I believe that you wrote down a new article from naturalnews.com in which Mike Adams advised people about 12 steps to prepare for coming economic collapse and other things. Do you not have that? I do not know whether you have that with you, but if you don't, can you search that out?
I believe I can find that.
Yes, do you have it right there?
No, I'll get it.
While I'm telling the listeners here that when I was cleaning house, looking at these old articles, I happened upon our late dear friend and colleague for the Lord on our program. Many of you remember him, Dr. Carl Sanders. I found his homepage from his ministry. It was called Trumpet Ministries, and this was March the 6th, 2006. And it's hard to believe that it's been 14 years. I'd like to read Carl's whole opening page, this opening page of his old website, and just see how amazingly on target the points of Carl's New World Order plan are. And we start with his opening scripture, Psalms 53:1. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. They are unable to prove evolution, but they will do all they can to tell you there is no God. This is, of course, the philosophy of the New World Order, and with this he is now convinced that he is in control, and he, the New Ager, is in power and will. And, of course, these were Carl's words after the Bible quote, and now Carl has the bullet points of what is going to come and what this New World Order minion would like to do. Bullet point one, create depressions, money panics, economical and ecological global warming fears, food and health crisis, flu epidemic, get your shots, inflation, bankruptcy, even churches, disarm America, unite the world, United Nations, New World Order, unite the church, ecumenical One World Church, abortions, including partial birth, taxpayer paid, same-sex marriages. It was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. Employ the genius of euthanasia experts to get rid of the ill, the aged, and the crippled and useless. The Supreme Court just upheld the euthanasia law of Oregon, and California is next. Carl then said Satan does read the Bible, and he has used Scripture to try and tempt Jesus. Please do not underestimate the enemy, but obey God. James 4:7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. And you noted there that one of Carl's last points was the genius of euthanasia experts to get rid of the ill, the aged, the crippled, the useless, elderly. When we get into looking at the nursing home situation, which might still be about a week away, we already know what Governor Cuomo did to send these COVID-19 positive patients back into the nursing homes, not letting them go into the Javits Center with the empty beds, not on the USS Comfort. No. Was this a plan for euthanasia? And now, when we're giving you what we did not expect to give you, these concerns of a possible coming upheaval with earthquakes, with other things that will come, there are prophetic voices who have seen a tsunami at some time coming on the East Coast. We had an old hairdresser, and she said that she had vision. She was just this little, dainty little person, and she had seen the eagle fall. That was America falling. She had heard God's voice in this vision say, go north, and there was a tsunami coming. So we only tell you these things because sometimes God does warn through people. We know about the Armenian genocide, that people were warned to flee, to come to America. The Kardashian family's ancestors were part of that group who came here because somebody listened to God's warnings. And we want all of you to do what Carl Sanders said there. Submit your lives to Jesus. Lou and I have done that in a renewal. Don't you think we were part of the shock and the disturbance and the fear when Lou lost his job and was cut? Of course we were. Many of you out there with little children and little grandchildren, and you don't have enough to eat, this is a dreadful time, and we do need to trust in Jesus. Lou and I were just talking to his dear cousin today because Lou's brother is quite ill, and we wanted to let his cousins know, and she told us an astounding miracle that God did. She was making masks for people and sending them around. I think this was free. And now she sent a little money. Where was she sending it, Lou? Do you recall?
You know, I don't recall where that was.
Somehow she had put a little money in somewhere. And what happened, I think this was somehow it was supposed to come back to her, I think. Something was coming back to her. I think maybe someone was paying for the mask.
That was it,
I believe. They were paying. And instead of it coming back to her, she heard from a person. She's in Massachusetts. She heard from a person in Pennsylvania. And somehow in one of those advertising circulars that, you know, are part of our junk mail, somehow her letter addressed to her with this money got put into that advertising circular. And the woman who received it was in desperate need. So they both thanked the Lord for this, that this was one of those synchronicity moments. And perhaps we're to tell you to prepare for long-term trouble. It can't hurt. And now Lou has found this latest thing from Natural News is Mike Adams. And, of course, he's thinking about what may come after COVID-19 and if it resurges again and we go into a bigger lockdown and if the globalists have their way and crash the whole world economy. Lou, let's get to his points.
Yes. These are his 12 tips. Number one, start growing food. Number two, reduce or eliminate exposure to banks and fiat currency. Three, use good nutrition to boost the immune system and enhance your defenses.
And we interject there that it's very important that you have vitamin C and zinc and vitamin D. Those are the big three that will help your immune system.
Number four, leave the city. Move to the country areas, rural areas, before the chaos comes. Five, store ammunition. Six, strengthen ties with capable, self-reliant people. Seven, learn to make your own colloidal silver from coins. Eight, substantially increase your food storage and master food preservation techniques. Grow canned and dry food. Make sure you have a good supply of salt for preservation. Number nine, prepare for local economies to collapse to local barter. Have a service others may need, in other words, or product. Number 10, acquire radios and possible knowledge for radio communication. That would be things like ham radios, for example. 11, hide supplies to protect from government confiscation. And 12, acquire and store large supplies of commercial-grade sanitizers. These include soap, alcohol, hydrogen peroxide, and I would imagine bleach as well. So those are his 12 cautionary points, you might call them.
And I think one of the key reasons we're on the air, we have always seen Ezekiel 33, and we do thank all of you for helping us continue to be watchmen. A few of you have been stepping up a little more to help us when we certainly will need it in the fall. We're not certain we can remain on the air without more help. And we really thank those of you, a few of you who are regularly helping us every month. And we had said, don't worry too much right now. Actually, the COVID is surging around us. We're not going to be checking our box too much at the post office for a little while. So, you know, use that money right now for your families, what you need. But when fall comes, September, that's when we're really going to need a lot more help from those of you who can help us. Now we're going to move right back into the coronavirus situation. We're going back to headlines of naturalnews.com. Now, this was starting April 16th, 2020. This was on that date. Coronavirus sets its sights on Russia. New cases crossed 3,000 mark in record one-day increase in infections. Now, Lou, you just did an update here today, May 6th, didn't you?
I did, yes. And I think that Russia appears on the surface to have a very small number of cases. But, of course, knowing Russia, it's a little hard to tell whether those statistics are reliable.
Yes, it's a little bit like China, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Now, back to those headlines. Patients in Chicago are waiting up to 2 weeks just to get coronavirus test results. And we would have to comment, that has been a very, very questionable thing here in the United States. The CDC early discouraged the states from testing. No, there, it looks like the conspiracy wants to keep the thing going long, long time. More headlines. U.S. may need to practice social distancing until 2022 to reduce coronavirus spread, say Harvard researchers. Coronavirus to cause Australia's unemployment to soar to 10% by June. Why are we paying communist China to conduct research in biological weapons? The police state arrives as cops in North Carolina arrest people protesting lockdowns. Is liberty a casualty of coronavirus? Brazil may only be reporting less than 10% of its coronavirus caseload, concludes disturbing new study. Francis Macron extends coronavirus lockdown, admits crisis revealed cracks, shortages in response. Pope Francis goes full fascist, pushes universal basic income, a strategy to enslave the world under government tyranny. Foot sores can be an early sign of coronavirus infection. Dr. Siegel on Fox News mentioned blue toes, loss of taste and smell. Now, Lou has more headlines from April 19th.
Dead bodies litter the beaches as Ecuador sees explosion in fatalities from the coronavirus. China sympathizer and World Health Organization director Tedros Ghebreyesus was a ranking member of violent communist movement in Ethiopia. Desperate to rewrite coronavirus narrative, Beijing goes on a warpath against whistleblowers and science. Coronavirus harms the brain and nervous system of 1 in 3 patients. Coronavirus infections in Amazon warehouses may increase exponentially, warns a new report. Healthcare workers are rejecting KN95 knockoff masks made in China. Sweden storing coronavirus bodies at ice rinks as deaths rise.
Now, we interject there. There was a headline how Sweden was really surging. This is part of the controversy. Did Sweden do better not having lockdowns totally, like the U.S. had, or were they going to keep surging? Now, you appear to have news that they're beginning to have dwindling numbers. Isn't that correct?
Yes, I was looking at the Worldometer website. Looks like Worldometer. That's how you can look it up. It appears that Sweden is not having a tremendous surge in the number of deaths or cases themselves. In fact, Sweden doesn't look too much worse than the United States, and Sweden has had no lockdown. Now, Sweden is a small country, and you can't always trust statistics based on small samples. But at least on the surface, I think that requires some more investigating.
Yes. Go ahead, Lou.
China revises its coronavirus death toll up 50%, but the communist regime is still lying about the real numbers. Rheumatoid arthritis drug combined with vitamin C saved ER doctor from coronavirus death. And I'm interjecting here. This, of course, we know, is the hydroxychloroquine, the malaria and lupus drug. It's can be used safely. In fact, Dr. Daniel Wallace used it for 43 years with 2,400 patients and had tremendous success with it.
Yes, and there were zero deaths and zero hospitalizations. And now they're pushing the new drug, remdesivir, something like that. And we've heard some reports that there was danger with this drug. So we have this medical, pharmaceutical, pharmakia, witchcraft thing against us. The real drugs that could help us that are cheap and have been here for a long, long time, they're going to try to suppress those. And the other part of that, it's not just witchcraft, it's greed. The big companies want this. Go ahead, Lou.
The Dutch are starting to develop antibodies against coronavirus, says a new study. And government tyranny is far more dangerous than COVID-19. We must not slide into socialism or communism as we attempt to survive the coronavirus.
And now we come to an important article, April 30th, at naturalnews.com by Ethan Huff. Nobel Prize winner who discovered HIV says coronavirus was definitely released from Wuhan lab, contains HIV DNA. The guy who's credited with having first discovered the AIDS virus and who won a Nobel Prize in medicine for it has made some unsettling claims about the alleged nature of the Wuhan coronavirus, COVID-19. According to French virologist Luc Montagnier, the Wuhan coronavirus didn't originate at a Wuhan wet market like the mainstream media initially claimed. It actually came from a Wuhan laboratory, he contends, and contains the same DNA as HIV. During an interview with Why Doctor that took place on April 16th, Montagnier explained that while it might be a quote, beautiful legend that the Wuhan coronavirus came from tainted bat meat, the truth is that it's actually a genetically modified GMO virus that had the HIV gene sequence artificially inserted into its genome. Quote, the Wuhan City Laboratory has specialized in these coronaviruses since the early 2000s. Montagnier stated, adding that, quote, they have expertise in this area. Along with his mathematician colleague, Jean-Claude Perez, Montagnier looked at the, quote, smallest details of the Wuhan coronavirus and discovered that it does, in fact, closely resemble HIV. We were not the first, since a group of Indian researchers tried to publish a study which shows that the complete genome of this coronavirus has sequences of another virus, which is HIV, the virus AIDS, he added. As it turns out, these Indian researchers were forced to retract their study after it was published, an apparent attempt to keep the truth about the Wuhan coronavirus under wraps. The world was not supposed to know that this thing was, quote, the work of a sorcerer's apprentice, end of quote, to quote the eloquence of Montagnier, and yet, quote, scientific truth always ends up emerging, quote, regardless of the attempts to keep it buried. Montagnier has also spoken out about the dangers of vaccines, which he says are backed by goodwill, but that poison little by little the entire population that will succeed us, meaning all of the innocent children who are jabbed by dozens of vaccines upon entry into the world. And I have to add a little bit here, Lou, about one evening when I was watching Tucker Carlson Tonight, and we had really admired Dr. Mark Siegel's early reporting from the Dulles Airport, a whistleblower. He told us that there were still flights going from China here on to New York, and that the border officials told him there was hardly any testing going on. So we were really, really thankful for his truth-telling. So on the night that is in question, April 30th, Tucker Carlson asked Dr. Siegel to comment on why there aren't cases of children spreading the coronavirus. In the UK, Carlson said, 78 studies show children under 10 aren't likely to get the virus. 1 to 2% of cases were children. And in China, 90% of children's cases were asymptomatic. In response to Carlson's request to analyze and amplify this children's COVID issue, Dr. Siegel quickly brushed off this inquiry with a pat statement or two, saying, we must cut through to a second most vital piece of news. Carlson looked surprised, perhaps as though this segue had not been scripted. Siegel then informed Carlson and the Fox News audience that a wonderful thing is happening. We're moving at warp speed to get a new COVID-19 vaccine. HHS Secretary Alex Azar has informed me. Siegel went on to explain how the development of a vaccine usually involves reaching a series of set steps and procedures along the way to the milestone of safety. And he said, but this time they're going to forego these steps and they're going to produce the vaccine. With great eagerness in his voice, Siegel added, so they will have thousands of doses ready by the time approval comes next year. I think we need much prayer because there's an agenda moving to take away our freedom with a medical police state. Lou, you have more coming up now.
Yes, from Natural News. Worries mount as coronavirus appears to disable the immune cells that fight it off, reactivating in some people.
Now, we have to interject again. Lou and I are truth seekers. We're trying to discover who is right that this thing was innocuous, it wasn't much worse than the flu. We know about this controversy between Mike Adams at Natural News and Michael Savage, and they both have impeccable scientific credentials. They believe what we have just told you, that there is this evidence that it is a biological weapon and it is rather deadly. Then we have the alternative news pundits who are saying things out of both sides of their mouth. They're saying it's nothing but the common cold. Then they're bringing on people like Dr. Francis Boyle, who actually drew up the treaty to limit biological weapons, and he says it's a deadly bioweapon. So we're caught between these two forces. And here in Maryland, right today, there was a big headline in our local newspaper that our representative, Andy Harris, was at odds with our governor, Larry Hogan, because Larry Hogan is taking a more conservative view about reopening Maryland. And Harris, who is a physician, said that it is time to get certain industries going, you know, certain boating activities, things that are outdoors that don't involve many people. So here we are. We wonder, what is the truth? Is it going to be used, you know, a lockdown when we don't need it? Or are we to be careful? And Lou and I, as individuals, we want to caution each of you not to be foolhardy, because we remember that 25-year-old top athlete. What was his, it wasn't soccer, what is it, Lou?
I think it was lacrosse.
Yes, lacrosse. And we remember him that he was deadly ill with COVID. He barely survived. He was airlifted to the University of Pennsylvania, their medical facilities. We're trying to think of his name right now. You know, you're reading that. Oh, yes, Allard. His name was Allard. I think it was Jack Allard. And I believe that he was on the Martha McCollum news program on Fox. His mother was on there to tell how sick he was originally and then to give the wonderful outcome that he did survive. When we think about that, there is someone who was very, very ill. This does not sound like the flu to me. Now, I'm going to mention another article here, and this was in the column of Donald Lambro. He's a rather leftist writer. We don't often go into his work, but he had a headline here, "The Great Reopening Starts with a Sporadic Beginning." And I think it was interesting that he quoted here, Emily Landon, chief infectious disease epidemiologist at the University of Chicago School of Medicine, told the Washington Post Monday, April 27th, she was concerned about the number of states that are reopening businesses. "It's hard for me to know what I'd do in those states where governors have announced business reopenings," Landon said. "I wouldn't go, and I wouldn't recommend that my family went. I would recommend that people stay home. This is a brand new virus, and we have to do these things in a measured way," she said, "without requirements for things like personal protective equipment, social distancing, and really thoughtful policies for how to do these things. It's not the time to do them." Across the country, however, some states are already relaxing their social distancing restrictions over pressure from protesters, business groups, and others, the Post reported. "The facts in our state are, March 30th, we peaked in hospitalizations with 560 across the state," Oklahoma Republican Governor Kevin Stitt said. "And on Fox News, Sunday, April 26th, today we have 300 across the state in our hospitals. We think it's time for a measured reopening." Colorado Governor Jared Polis, a Democrat, defended his decision to partially reopen his state on CNN's State of the Union program, maintaining that he is focused on social distancing practices and that they could likely remain in place for months. "We've really been laser focused on figuring out how we can endure and sustain these kinds of social distancing measures. If we can't succeed in doing that, the stay at home was for nothing." So we can see this conflicting attitude toward this. And again, this woman who was the chief infectious disease epidemiologist, she probably has not as much information as you listeners to the Divided Kingdom have, because she probably doesn't know from the mainstream media about Montagnier's look at the virus, the Nobel Prize-winning Montagnier, who discovered the HIV virus. So you see, you want to keep your family safe, but you want to pray that the leftists cannot put us in perpetual lockdown. So now we move on. Are you next, Lou, or do you have number 8?
I have number 8.
Okay.
This was dated Monday, April 20th, 2020, from naturalnews.com, written by Isabel Z. "One study suggests the coronavirus has the power to disable the immune cells that fight infections. which could allow the virus to essentially reactivate in certain patients. This may help explain why South Korea has seen a series of coronavirus patients who have recovered from the disease once, later testing positive for it again.
And Lou, I interrupt because I forgot that you had begun that article, and I think that's very apropos to what I was talking about earlier. We just don't know the severity and the oddball quirks of this thing, because if it's bioengineered, it has what Dr. Francis Boyle called gain of function. And, you know, he said it might be able to leap 14 to 21 feet, and it can float in the air. So these are things that wouldn't be in a normal flu. Isn't that correct?
I'm sure that's very correct.
Because it's bioengineered.
Yeah.
So that's why we really have to think about this. And we do think that God has probably removed you from your teaching position because of the three scriptures he showed us. One talked about removing the righteous man from the evil to come, and the other one talked about keeping you not from being swallowed up by the coming flood. Now, I interpret that to mean there may be a resurgence of COVID-19. So all of you out there, you heard our recommendations there from Mike Adams. Think about and pray about what you need to do to add to your food stores and to add to being self-sufficient. Now, let's hear more about this resurgence.
Yes, and remember, this is in South Korea they're talking about. So far, they've reported 141 cases like this. And experts are exploring a series of possible explanations, such as reinfection, relapse, or inconsistent tests. One of the reasons could be that the virus attacks T lymphocytes, immune cells that the body uses to identify infections and respond to them. The study, which was a collaboration between Chinese and American doctors, showed how coronavirus damages the cells in such a way that they can't detect resurging levels of the same virus, or the production of antibodies against it is not triggered. When the researchers performed the same experiment using another type of coronavirus, the one that causes SARS, they found that it was not able to infect T cells in the same way, possibly because of a lack of a membrane fusion function. That means that despite the similarities between the two viruses, there are some crucial differences that are making the novel coronavirus so deadly. In South Korea, patients are considered to be recovered from the virus if they've tested negative for it twice within a 48-hour period. However, experts note that the RT-PCR test used there could return inconsistent or false results on occasion, such as when the virus is at levels that are simply too low to be detected. At the same time, it could also be picking up small levels of the virus that are harmless. Proper sample collection is another factor that may be contributing to the numbers. The Korean Centers for Disease Control and Prevention have said they think these cases are the result of a type of reactivation or relapse, in which some parts of the virus might be entering a type of dormant state for a while. It might also be the case that certain patients could have conditions or immunity problems that make them more vulnerable to the virus reviving within their body. One South Korean virologist, Kim Jong-ki, likened the relapse after treatment to a spring snapping back after it's been pressed down. In any case, the idea of the virus reactivating and reactivated patients then spreading the infection to others is highly concerning. So far, more than 300,000 people around the world have recovered from coronavirus, at least officially, plus countless more who have never had symptoms strong enough to warrant testing. Normally, once your body possesses the antibodies needed to fight off a certain disease, you won't get it again. However, if the virus mutates and additional strains emerge, like the seasonal flu or common cold, all bets are off. And I should interject, this is Lou speaking now, having read up on the 1918 Spanish flu, it's believed that that is exactly what happened. Of course, in those days, they didn't have the modern knowledge we have today to be able to use electron microscopes and other tests.
And Lou, I have to interject that I believe on the Laura Ingraham program, there was information coming out now, at least from one scientific venue, that possibly this virus is mutating to be less harmful. And that would really be a blessing from God.
Yes, it was, because it's believed that just the opposite was true in 1918.
That's right, so go ahead.
Now, resuming the article, some viruses also have latency periods. Although it's considered rare, after an initial infection, they might stay inside of host cells until reactivation, like adults who have had chickenpox as children later developing shingles. There is still so much that scientists don't know about the disease, which is why ending quarantines too soon could be devastating.
That was a very important nugget, I think, that you had there, the comparison to shingles and chickenpox. We know so little about this bioengineered foe. Now, another important article, coronavirus found to linger in the air in crowded spaces, Wednesday, April 29th, 2020, by Franz Walker, Natural News. A new study shows that the coronavirus continues to linger in the air in crowded spaces or rooms without ventilation. The study, published in the journal Nature Research, found bits of the virus's genetic material floating in the air of rooms in two hospitals in Wuhan. Two types of droplets are produced when people cough, talk, or even just breathe. Larger ones, which drop down to the ground or other surfaces before they can evaporate, cause contamination, mostly through the objects they settle on. Smaller ones, on the other hand, can hang in the air for hours. In a new study, researchers led by Wuhan University's Ke Han set up aerosol traps at 30 sites in and around hospitals in the city that served as ground zero for the global pandemic. They found few airborne particles in residential buildings, supermarkets, and even patient wards. However, they found much more in toilets, areas with large crowds passing through, and an indoor space near one of the hospitals. Even higher concentrations were found in rooms where medical staff had taken off their protective equipment. This suggests the particular This suggests that particles contaminating their gear had become airborne again when these masks, gowns, and gloves were removed. Oh, isn't that interesting? Lou, that's so interesting.
Very much so.
They laid it down, and
really
then the particles,
makes you wonder.
And the particles could leap, you see, just like Boyle said.
Yep.
Quote, our results indicate that room ventilation, all open space, sanitization of protective apparel, and proper use and disinfection of toilet areas can effectively limit the concentration of SARS-CoV-2, I think that is RNA, in aerosols, quote, the researchers wrote in the study. Future work should explore the infectivity of aerosolized virus, and that was a quote. The study adds to the growing body of data on how the virus could spread through indirect contact. Another study from scientists at Princeton University, the University of California in Los Angeles, and the National Institutes of Health, published in the peer-reviewed New England Journal of Medicine last month, concluded that the virus remained airborne for up to 3 hours. The same study also looked into how long the virus survived on various surfaces and investigated the possibility of transmission outside of direct human contact. These studies are becoming more important as state and national governments mull reopening their economies and sending people back to work. As people begin to go back to work, knowing how they could still catch the virus, even indirectly, could be the difference between continuing to contain the virus and a possible resurgence.
Now, we have from Natural News, Sunday, May 3rd, 2020. Bill and Hillary Clinton want to recruit a, quote, army of contact tracers to hunt down and interrogate people with coronavirus, by Ethan Huff. The Clintons are back in the news to give that take on the Wuhan coronavirus, COVID-19, of course. And what they want to see happen in order to open back up the country is, you guessed it, more government tyranny. Speaking to California Governor Gavin Newsom during a recent Clinton Global Initiative University live stream, former President Bill Clinton discussed the need, and that's in quotes, the need to track people, quote, who are positive, unquote, with the Wuhan coronavirus, describing the effort in terms of an army of young people. That word army is in quotes. In Clinton's view, the government needs to be able to track where people go and who they come into contact with at all times in order to, quote, hem up any recurrence of this, unquote. In other words, we need mass surveillance and a total police state to quash the Wuhan coronavirus, according to Clinton. Clinton asked, quote, should we have a contract? I think that is supposed to be contact. That's the author of the article put the word sick behind it, which means I think Mr. Clinton made a little mistake there. So I'll read it the way it should have been. Should we have a contact tracer core?
Contract on America.
That's right.
Oh, yes. That was a Freudian slip, perhaps.
Perhaps it was. Should we have that contact tracer core, even if we call it something more elegant? Clinton asked.
You know, the Stasi works for Facebook, Lou.
Oh, yes. That's so right. That's right, exactly.
They brought some of them in, you see.
Yep. And now we move on to an article. These U.S. entities partnered with the Wuhan Institute of Virology. Time for a criminal investigation. Sunday, May 3rd, 2020, by Ethan Huff, National News.
And before we get to that, I think it's important that we bring this thing right up to date about the mass vaccine preparation. And I don't know whether we're going to get to Bill and Melinda Gates. Let's just quickly, you'll pull that article up. We may have to hold what you have there, because
all
here's
right.
The Washington Examiner by Spencer Neal, May 4th. Ineffective and dangerous. Michael Savage says he will refuse to take coronavirus vaccination. Dr. Michael Savage, whose show, Savage Nation, is broadcast on more than 400 radio stations, tweeted on Sunday night that he has never taken a flu shot and he does not plan to get vaccinated for a coronavirus if there is such a thing developed. COVID vaccine, Savage tweeted, I will refuse to take it. It will be ineffective and dangerous. There are now 20 known mutations. I have never taken a flu shot, and I will refuse to take a COVID vaccine. And some of you already know that we have a lot of connections with our government, NIH. Dr. Fauci was part of this NIH during that time, giving $3 million to the Wuhan lab. We know a lot of these connections, and we'll get into that more later. But I think it's very imperative to see the leftist plan to overturn America and change the schools of America forever. Lou, can you get that to that article there? You have it, I think, with Governor Cuomo, what he wants. Do you have that?
Now, let me see. I know the one you're speaking of.
Oh, I believe I have it.
I believe you do.
All right, I think
yes,
we're going to have to
do.
Move into this. May 6th, so this is rather new, headlines by Ethan Huff at Natural News. New York City, this is important, too. This was a headline. New York City burying coronavirus victims in a mass grave in Hart Island, and that's spelled capital H-A-R-T, Island, the Bronx. Now, we'll have to try to pursue that. Did you hear that? We're going into Nazi Gestapo Germany. New York City burying coronavirus victims in a mass grave in Hart Island, the Bronx. Now, this same governor of New York, Cuomo, scraps the old model of education. He announces that Bill and Melinda Gates will control public school past pandemic. And Cuomo told reporters during a news conference at Upstate Medical University in Syracuse that remote learning through apps like Zoom will become a permanent way of life for students in New York long after the Wuhan coronavirus crisis ends. Stopping short of saying that all existing public school buildings will remain closed forever after the pandemic ends, Cuomo did reveal that his state is now, quote, exploring all of the ways that, quote, distance learning can remain a permanent fixture under his New World Order vision of the post-pandemic era. It's hard to change the status quo, he said. Teachers will stay in their homes and teach children through screens. Eugenicists Bill and Melinda Gates will also be given the key to design a blueprint for post-pandemic education. In New York, Cuomo revealed, which more than likely means that all children, and he had revealed what I've just told you, that we'll have this Gates blueprint, which more than likely means that all children will be forcibly vaccinated and given the mark of the beast quantum dot tattoo under their skins, and that will be part of their reentry back into the educational system. Ethan Huff says in New York, schools will remain closed through the rest of the school year. Time to make this transition from the old to the new, after which there will be no going back, which seems to have been the plan all along. If that horrifies you, it should. All of you grandparents and parents, you're not going to put up with this. Teachers aren't going to put up with this. This will never happen. Lou?
Yes, as a teacher, and as which is ironic because I was not that happy a student. I always loved to see June come. If they put me in front of a computer screen and said, pay attention to the teacher, I think I would be daydreaming even more than I did in my regular classes. I don't think any student benefits from that kind of
We know that, and this is a part of the movement, you see, to bringing in the artificial intelligence, the robot network.
And dumb them down even more.
And to killing us, that we're moving toward the mass population culling more and more and more. This crazy, satanic view of these elitists, these high-tech elitists. We have to stop it at each stage, don't we, Lou?
Absolutely.
And more important than the disinterest of the students, can't you make the biggest point of all? What is this?
Well, one of the points that comes to my mind is you'll get the students to a very, very low level. They'll make good slaves, and the ones that are not making good slaves, you can just get rid of somehow.
That's right. Another mass grave out there somewhere in the Bronx.
That's right.
There were other headlines May 4th from Natural News. Overwhelmed New York funeral home resorts to storing decomposing bodies in unrefrigerated rental trucks at the Clackley funeral home. And this is almost as shocking, you see, as the nursing home scenarios that we have to report on. There were no family goodbyes. The COVID-19 makes funeral homes 4 to 6 week wait before cremation. So Andrew Clackley resorted to this storing of these 100 bodies or more in the U-Haul trucks in front of the funeral home. Neighbors smelled death. De Blasio criticized not asking for help. Clickley reportedly did tell authorities that he had been waiting for weeks for the bodies. And where is the testing? What are we at now? Maybe 4 or 5 million? This is a Rahm Emanuel scenario. Disaster allowed to get worse and worse and worse and worse. But you listeners know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God Almighty, died for us. They are in control, not man. So have hope, have faith, do your part. Tell others about our program, DividedKingdomRadio.com. Good night.